Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Epiphany Rodeo Program. This is Deacon Louis Zemlich here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. Glad you're with us here today in this second Sunday of Easter, or Divine Mercy Sunday. And, of course, it was St. Pope John Paul the Great who had this day, this Divine Mercy Sunday, and this beautiful portrait of Jesus with these rays, and you can go online and just Google Divine Mercy Sunday and Jesus, I Trust in You. And it's a beautiful portrait that St. Faustina had this vision of Jesus. And the church has approved this vision that has happened. And it's just, you think about, these saints, these holy people that came out of Poland, and the last 150 years, just miraculous people for everything that the Polish people had been through. So we pray for the Polish people today, and we pray for all of Europe, especially in the wake and Sri Lanka and the wake of this violence that is being perpetrated in the world. But I think, you know, in a certain way, my brothers and sisters, I think if you're not shocked by some of these things, you are in a deep slumber. You are, these things are happening everywhere and have been happening since the beginning of time. You know, we just celebrated Easter, but what happened at Easter? What happened? What happened on Good Friday? What happened on Holy Thursday? You know, Christ was betrayed. He was betrayed, and he was betrayed by the religious leaders. And so we need to look at the leadership that's in every major religion throughout the world. Who are these people? And do they really preach peace and forgiveness and love? Or do they just preach to be dominant over the whole world? To think that it's their way or the highway type of thing. But today is Divine Mercy Sunday. And in a certain kind of way, you know, it's even more important for you to go to church today than it was last week, because this is kind of this the Sunday of second chances, right? The, you know, where Thomas gets this chance to see Jesus again. And you, my brothers and sisters, have that opportunity today. And it's up to you. All I can say is, you know, stop blaming your parents or stop blaming your CCD teacher or, you know, a nun who wasn't nice to you or, you know, who was mean to you in school. And I know there were plenty of mean ones because my brothers tell me about them. I never went to Catholic schools, but I went to public schools. I was the last of 8 boys in my family. And, I just think, not that I don't think that the Catholic schools are great, because I think they are great, and especially today in comparison to the garbage that they teach in the public schools today, I think the Catholic schools are unbelievably great. And man, if I was raising children today, I think I would spend my last dime to send them to Catholic schools, even though, I'm sure there's work that needs to be done there too. But in any case, this is kind of this, let's get rid of the blame game, and let's get rid of the excuses, and let's get rid of all this childish behavior, and say, you know what? Am I going to be an apostle for Jesus Christ? Am I going to be a witness for Jesus Christ? So let us go right into the scriptures. And in case you're just joining us, this is the Epiphany Radio Program, and you can go to the Diocese of Kalamazoo if you're interested in anything about the diocese, which is diokzoo.org. Our radio shows are archived at holyfamilyradio.net, but we also have built out a new website, deaconlouiszemlich.com. You can go on there, learn a little bit about me, and we're trying to have our programs updated and on there, the newest, most recent programs updated and on there every week. And also next week, we're hoping to have the bishop with us. So we'll see how that goes. If he's in town and he's available, we'll certainly have Bishop Bradley on. But we're going to go right into the readings of this April 28th, 2019, second Sunday of Easter, Divine Mercy Sunday. Our first reading is from the Acts of the Apostles, Acts 5, 12 through 16. Many signs and wonders were done among the people at the hands of the apostles. They were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the others dared to join them, but the people esteemed them. Yet more than ever, believers in the Lord, great numbers of men and women were added to them. Thus, they even carried the sick out into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, so that when Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on one or another of them. A large number of people from the towns in the vicinity of Jerusalem also gathered, bringing the sick and those disturbed by unclean spirits, and they were all cured. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our psalm reading is Psalm 118, 2 and 4, 13 through 15, and 22 through 2. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love is everlasting. Let the house of Israel say, his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his mercy endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his mercy endures forever. Alleluia. Alleluia is the alternate to the give thanks response. Alleluia. I was hard pressed and was falling, but the Lord helped me. My strength and my courage is the Lord, and he has been my Savior. The joyful shout of victory is the tents of the just. Alleluia. The stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. By the Lord has this been done. It is wonderful in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Alleluia. Our second reading is reading from the book of Revelation. Revelation 1, 9 through 11, 12 through 13, and 17 through 19. I, John, your brother, who share with you the distress, the kingdom, and the endurance we have in Jesus, found myself on an island called Patmos, because I proclaimed God's word and gave testimony to Jesus. I was caught up in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a voice as loud as a trumpet, which said, "Write on a scroll what you see." Then I turned to see whose voice it was who spoke to me. And when I turned, I saw seven gold lampstands. And in the midst of the lampstands, one like the Son of Man, wearing an ankle-length robe with a gold sash around his chest. When I caught sight of him, I fell down at his feet as though dead. He touched me with his right hand and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last, the one who lives. Once I was dead, but now I am alive forever and ever. I hold the keys to death and the netherworld. Write down, therefore, what you have seen and what is happening and what will happen afterwards." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Powerful scripture from the book of Revelation, and I encourage everyone to read that whole chapter, chapter 1, not just the bits and pieces that the church has pieced out in there, but it's powerful, very powerful. Okay, my brothers and sisters. A reading of the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the doors were locked, where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger into the nail marks and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now, a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in their presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief, you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So may the words of this gospel wipe away our sins. So, fantastic gospel reading, my brothers and sisters, today. And welcome to the Epiphany Radio Program. My name is Deacon Louis Zemlich here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. And, of course, this is an outreach of the Catholic Church, always inviting our brothers and sisters back to the church. And, you know, many of us know, I am almost 60 years old. You know, and you learn things about life, right? You learn things about people. Some things change, some things don't. But I tell you, my brothers and sisters, the church is a beautiful church. It is a great institution. Some people will even call it the eighth sacrament, the sacrament of the church, the gift of the church, the mystery of the church. And these, and we are a sacramental church, right? Believe in these beautiful seven sacraments, these seven great mysteries. But very much focused today is not only the gift of Holy Communion and the Holy Eucharist, but also this gift of the Holy Spirit that is given to us at confirmation. It's given to us in baptism as well in a very special way. The chrism oil spread on the crown of the baby's head, and also received the chrism oils received on the forehead at confirmation and also for adults. And I also want to welcome all of those Catholics just coming into the church. And I admire you for your courage in these times and days of persecution of Christian Catholics all over the world and your great courage to stand up for the truth of marriage, the truth of baptism, the truth of the sacraments, of the holy oils, the healing oils, the oil of the sick, and the oil of catechumens. All of these things, all of these things that bring us together, that make us one holy Catholic and apostolic church. So we welcome you. And, you know, every year a few hundred more come in. And of course, we know that people walk away too. People are afraid. People become like Thomas. You know, my confirmation name is Thomas. I kind of like Thomas, you know, because he says, my Lord and my God. And he asks God. He really has a conversation with God that many of us should have that conversation. Not to be overzealous or not to be obnoxious in any way or egotistical, but just to, you know, pour out your heart to God. If you are angry with God, then be angry. But get over it. Get past it. Do not stay angry at God. That is not the answer. If you need to get angry for a short period of time, okay. I understand. Especially when you lose someone dear to you. You lose a child. You lose a marriage. A wife, a husband, a brother, or a sister. Untimely death. I understand. I see that. But God loves us so unbelievably. And it's shown here so clearly. You know, our first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, this imposition of hands, the hands of the priest, the hands of all of us, but in a special way, the hands of the priest that are blessed to be consecrate the bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ, to deliver to us the sacraments. See? And of course, same for me as a deacon. You know, the blessing of our hands. The blessing of our hands to deliver the sacraments of baptism, to witness marriages, to do the things that we need to do, to pray over people, right? To lay our hands on people and to help give them the grace and the courage and the love that they need. But also your hands, my brothers and sisters. We are the hands of Jesus Christ today. And what do we do with our hands? Do we do it for good or we do it for evil? Right? Many people do a lot of sign language when they're driving. Not good. Cussing and swearing. These little things that people think, oh, that's no big deal. It is a big deal. Cussing and swearing in public where children can hear you. It's disgusting. You know? It's disgusting. And we see this falling apart in our society, in our culture. And I'd mentioned this years ago when I talked about this. You know, all of the abuse and the things that happen in the universities, in the churches, right? And now we see this has happened with the Boy Scouts. It's everywhere, my brothers and sisters. Do not be shocked. Do not be shocked by this. The perversity of our culture. Look at our culture. We have parades about sex. Parades. It's disgraceful. We have lost our way. And people will say, oh, Deacon Louie, you're just way too conservative. You're just way too serious. Well, I'll tell you, my brothers and sisters, it destroys families. It destroys marriages. And it's very offensive. It's offensive to children. You know, maybe it's not offensive to people who are from the age of, you know, 16 to 22. But sooner or later we grow up and we decide and we're honest with ourselves and we say, it's offensive. It's disgusting. And it is. And it is very sinful. And then we wonder why we have the drug addiction. We have the alcoholism. We have the abuse of women. We have the human trafficking. The human trafficking of children. Oh, it's just a joke. It's not a joke. We're just kidding around. We're just having fun. Are you having fun? Maybe you're having fun at other people's expense. By shocking them. And maybe you think that's funny to see a shocking look on their face or the shocking look on a person's face who is has their children there with them and they have to listen or see whatever that you are doing or whatever you are deciding to do. Do our own thing. Do whatever we want. And, you know, I think this whole thing, we'll talk about this later too, you know, having this big thing on 1969. And this is the depravity that's happened in the last 50 years. And if you want to be proud for the last 50 years of everything, all the great things that we've done in this country, all the great institutions that we've destroyed in this country and are continue to destroy, like the book of Revelation talks about, past, present, and future. That's how we look at Book of Revelation as Catholics. It's not just the future. It's the past. It's the present. And it's the future. See? Christ tells John that. We'll get to that in just a minute. But our hands. What do we do with our hands from this Acts of the Apostles? And then, of course, the Book of Revelation. We're going to go right into that and talk about that a little bit. That that's what the church teaches. And look at these last words, because this is chapter 1 of Book of Revelation. This last part here. Write down, therefore, what you have seen. What is happening? Right? What is happening? And what will happen afterwards? What you have seen, the past. What is happening, the present. And what will happen afterwards? The words of the Book of Revelation. Many people love to hear that, you know, love to hear, you know, the Book of Revelation, you know, the dynamicness of it. And of course, the Apostle John writing it. But Christ died, was put in a tomb and rose. That's a reality, my brothers and sisters. It's not a fairy tale. He went to the realm of the dead to free the damned as our Savior. Every knee will bow on the earth and beneath the earth. Christ holds the keys to heaven and to hell. See? There's another part there that I may read if I have time to get to it. There is a name that is simply this name that they use in the gospel today. And talk a little bit about the gospel. There's a lot of good teachings here. There's about 7 different teachings here. But Jesus has, as a person, contact with his disciples, even showing him the marks of his passion, proving to him, listen, I did. I rose from the dead. It is me. Here's my wounds. He even eats with them. Thus, the risen Christ, by giving his spirit to the apostles, entrusts his powers, this powers of this sanctifying grace and his sanctifying power. The Spirit of God, through the ordained priesthood and his church, gives the priest the power to forgive sins in his name. God is always the one who forgives the sins. Jesus is the one, okay? But he has given this ability to the sacred priesthood, to their hands, to be laid upon a person, to try to help them, to try to heal them. And in such a beautiful way, we read this, he breathed on them, received the Holy Spirit. If you ever have gone to the Chrism Mass, they had the Chrism Mass, you know, the week before Easter. But the bishop breathes on the chrism oil, the power of the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that was breathed on those apostles is breathed upon all of us who are confirmed, all of us who are baptized in a certain way, receiving the Holy Spirit, but in a very powerful way. The anointing of the hands and the receiving of the Holy Spirit in the sacred priesthood. See? And of course, that society and culture is trying to rip that apart. Take that away from God. We don't want God to have that. You can't have that. trying to take away everything that's holy. And they have accomplished it to some great extent in all the other Christian churches, taken away all the sacraments, with only baptism hanging on by its fingernails. But all the other six sacraments, most other Christian churches have been removed, and they don't even call them sacraments. Sacramental grace. For it is through these sacraments, my brothers and sisters, have no doubt about that, that through these sacraments, this sacramental grace is received. The instruments of water and oil and bread and wine. This grace is received. The laying on of hands. This grace, sacramental grace, is received. The saving power of Jesus Christ. Through the institution that Jesus Christ has set up, quite plainly here in this gospel, quite plainly, that God has given them this power. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them. Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them. And whose sins you retain are retained. Doesn't get much clearer than that, my brothers and sisters. Especially for those people who say, well, I don't need to go to reconciliation. Oh, yes, you do. Especially if you want to come forward and receive the Holy Eucharist. Yes, you do need to go to reconciliation. You need to ask for forgiveness. You need to be healed. You know, it's like cutting our finger and refusing, oh, it'll stop bleeding sooner or later when you need stitches. Well, I'll tell you, my brothers and sisters, the sacraments, the sacramental grace are those stitches. You need a physician. You need someone to help you. You need someone to help you. And finally, my brothers and sisters, to remember this, for all of us to remember this. We only have a couple of minutes left. But to remember this on this Divine Mercy Sunday, to offer mercy and forgiveness. God gives you and I the ability to act like God. Like Jesus, especially in this area of forgiveness. We can do this. We can. But we refuse to. The hardness of our hearts. And sometimes it is from a deep wound. But I tell you, my brothers and sisters, if you pray and meditate, especially upon this St. Pope John Paul's theology of the body, it will open your heart up. Pope John Paul had this knowledge generation cycle of this perspective of death. In his general audience on the 26th of March, 1980, the Holy Father continued his catechism on the theology of the body. He further examined the biblical knowledge and the nuptial relationship before the fall. A mutual disinterested gift of self between spouses, contrasting it with the same relationship and remedy for death after the fall. Something very beautiful for all of us to look at. And so, my brothers and sisters, be in prayer. Come back to the church. We love you so very much, and we want the best for you. May Almighty God bless you all and bless your families. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God bless you all. We love you. Have a wonderful Divine Mercy Sunday.